Nice Guy Dilemma podcast. I'm your host, Janelle Klander. This week, we're talking about a nice guy who gets married. Horrible avoidance. Do you avoid talking about things? Do you avoid admitting things to yourself? This story, unfortunately, ends in murder. I'm not trying to bum you guys out. I'm really not. I think this is a really interesting story, and I think, as always, that we can learn some things from this guy, from this scenario. So if you're vibing with me to any degree, reach out, shoot me an email, or you could set up a call, and we can just get some clarity on where you're at. We can get a game plan together. Because the thing is, if you were able to figure this stuff out on your own, you would have done it by now. Why wait? Why put it off? Let's just do it. Let's do it now. So if it's not clear to you how to have goals, stick to them. Help others. Know your values. Set boundaries without being a selfish asshole. That's the fear, right? All while being the strong, independent man that women are looking for. You are in the right place. I'm going to say a strong, sexy, independent man women are looking for. You are in the right place. That actually came from a friend of mine who, when I first had the idea, I'm going to start this podcast, I shot out a couple podcast title ideas to a couple guy friends. And one of them responded semi-emotionally. He didn't actually say which one he liked. We'll just say that. But he responded with this: wanting to know how to have goals, stick to them, help others, know your values, set boundaries without being a selfish asshole. And I was like, there you go. I'm going to use that. I don't think he knows I'm using it. I don't think he listens to the podcast, and that's fine. But I just want to say that that really came from a true nice guy scenario. So if you're a nice guy, you may put others' needs before your own. You may really want people to like you. You may avoid conflict. You may struggle with taking a stand for yourself and your life. And you may fear being rejected. You may fear being seen as weak as well. There's some various things. There's other more specific ones. So today we are talking about a nice guy. We are talking about a nice guy named Cody Johnson, who was 24, who married a nice gal named Jordan Graham. She was 21 at the time, which ended in the murder of Cody. Again, not trying to bum you out, talking about murder, but you know I like to analyze situations, and I think we can all learn some stuff from this. So this is a really interesting story that hopefully you can gain some clarity in your own life, your own nice guy strategies that are getting in the way of you being in a relationship, getting in the way of you just having a successful career, a healthy relationship, and of course, by avoiding murder. And a little dramatic? Okay. What I'm doing in this episode is making some guesses. I obviously don't know for certain what happened, but I think I can make some guesses and point some things out that I do know happened. And hopefully, again, you can gain some freedom and confidence, clarity in the process. And if anything impacts you, as always, jot it down, write down on a post-it, put in a notepad on your phone, reflect on it. Because if it impacted you in some way, there's probably something there for you to integrate. So let's get into it. How did this couple get married, perceivably nice people, and one end up dead? So Cody and Jordan met at church. And what is said about them is that they shared this dream of raising children. So first off, this really stands out to me because when people talk about them meeting at church, so it's really just about church and kids. So this is a red flag to me, as like if this was the only compatibility that they had, which actually sounds like that probably was the only compatibility that they had. It's not, you know, maybe enough if you're in a situation like this to commit to marriage and creating a family. If a lot of people want kids and a lot of people go to church, right? But I don't know for sure, but this is what was said about them. These are the two things that people say that they had in common. So nice guy, Cody, people describe him as someone who liked to make other people happy. So seemed like a sweet guy. You know, obviously, if he's liking to make people happy, we could probably put him under the category people pleaser. He was raised by his mom and had a strong relationship with his mama. And this can be common for some nice guys, strong relationship with mom, not necessarily strong with dad, whether he's in the picture or not. Sometimes nice guys are a little bit intimidated by their dads, or they don't want to be as, you know, overbearing as their dads, so they kind of swing in the other direction. Cody's friend said that Jordan and him were pretty different. So Jordan's friend said they were distant towards Cody. She would bring friends on dates with her. So her friend said that she never saw them kiss or flirt. Never saw them kiss or flirt. And they definitely did not have sex. That's known. No one that knew them thought, yeah, you know what? This is a great couple who are super into each other and have a lot in common, and it makes sense for them to get married. So Cody, on the other hand, told his mom early on that he wanted to marry Jordan. So soon after they met, he's like, yeah, I want to marry Jordan. Cody's mom says he was madly in love with her. I don't know. It's really interesting when we talk about being in love with people. What does that mean? Because I love to analyze that belief when we're in love with someone, especially his mom is saying he was madly in love with her. Okay, so Cody's mom says this. Cody was really looking forward to getting married. He loved children and he couldn't wait to have his own and thought Jordan was the one for him. So let's pause. I think my opinion is Jordan and Cody are both running their fantasies about each other. Jordan's friends said that she loved the fantasy of getting married and having children. Cody loved the fantasy of being married, having children. But, you know, was he really madly in love with her? This is something that nice guys and nice gals do too. They live in a fucking fantasy world, projecting onto others and not being authentic in relationships, not authentic in their lives. So this relationship probably seemed really safe for Cody. Since Jordan was so distant, he didn't have to have actual intimacy. Oh shit, I said it. So most guys are terrified of real intimacy. I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about letting someone really see them and really seeing someone else on a deep level. So I don't know. I have to think that Cody was lying to himself if he thought he was madly in love with this woman. I could be wrong, but it just seems like I have to call some bullshit on it. I mean, if she didn't even seem like she liked him, that's what the friends said. what is this relationship? Why would you want to be in relationship with someone that doesn't even seem like they like you? They were both in love with these fantasies of getting married and having children, and they just happened to start some relationship that seemed quite superficial, and they just kind of went along with it. You know, I feel this sometimes with friends or acquaintances. They will be in a relationship, and I just think, do you really like them? Do you like the idea of them? Like for me as an outsider, like sometimes in relationships, I really feel the connection between the two of them. And then sometimes I just am like, I'm confused. As an outsider, I'm looking at them and I'm like, I don't understand what's happening there. Do you like them or you just like the idea of them? This is something that nice guys do a lot in relationships. There is a big difference. So when a woman is distant, it can feel so much safer for the nice guy. He can hide behind his mask. He can keep people pleasing. He can keep playing his game of trying to make everyone happy and seeing him in a certain light. But if he gets into a situation that has deeper level of intimacy, then that could blow his cover with his mask that he's wearing. Now, first, a lot of nice guys, this isn't even conscious that they're doing this. So check in with yourself. Do you relate? How much do you avoid actual intimacy, deeply being seen as vulnerable? And I'm not just talking about sharing feelings every once in a while, really the uncertainty of vulnerability, of being seen potentially as weak or being seen sometimes as not a good guy, right? There's vulnerability in that when we really just show our full selves. And let's just talk about Jordan for a sec. I'm sure she's obviously hiding behind her own mask, right? Not showing up authentically in this relationship. Yeah, everyone described, yeah, she's a nice gal, okay. What does that mean? She's not showing up authentically either. She may be terrified of intimacy as well. She may be terrified of actually deeply connecting with another person. It's common. It's common. I mean, we all have trauma. We all have wounding. So they knew each other for 2 years. They got engaged after 1 year of being together. I'm going to do like air quotes, being together. Pretty loose here. So no one saw them kiss. They definitely didn't have sex. And they weren't really close. Like people said, they just didn't have a lot in common. They got married on June 29th, 2013. All right, so on this day, attendees say that Jordan cried hysterically as she walked down the aisle to her groom. She was looking down at the ground. Like, holy shit. I really, you know, one thing that's hard with like really doing your work around codependency is just letting other people do their things. Like, I'm just imagining being at that wedding and having all my stuff with codependency and just being like, oh my God, do we need to stop this? And yet, it's Jordan's path. Like, she's deciding to move forward on this journey, right? I mean, one of her, she was kind of having doubts about getting married and asked a friend, and the friend just did a really good job of turning it back to you. Well, you know, it's something you got to talk to Cody about if you're not wanting to do this. Like, I can't answer that for you. I don't know. It seemed like she needed some come to Jesus. Oh my gosh, hysterically crying, looking down at the ground. And the thing is, so she's having her experience, but like, what's Cody thinking on his end? Oh, this is my beautiful bride just looking terrified of me. You know, this is where nice guys can just have that. It's like they don't want to see clearly. They don't want to see what's actually happening. They have this veil of denial. Like, everything's fine. It's good. We're getting married. We're going to have kids. It's all going to get better soon. Like, if your relationship isn't good when you're getting married, it's definitely not going to be good once you get married. And it was not good. It was definitely not good for either one of them. So after Jordan talks to a friend and says it was miserable and she didn't enjoy it. And then she said, I just know he's going to want to do stuff and I don't want to. So after she gets married, she's now having the terror of like, okay, now he's going to expect sex from me. Because before it was like, oh, I'm waiting for marriage. But now that they've gotten married, sounds like she's like living in terror. So she said she's going to use the excuse of having her period to not have sex, but she knows it's only going to work for so long. But she didn't want to have sex with him. And they never actually ended up having sex after they got married. So clearly this woman didn't want anything to do with her now husband. She wanted the wedding, the kids, but not in the actual relationship, definitely not in sex. Like, I don't know, maybe she didn't realize that you do have to have sex in order to have children. 8 days later, Cody goes missing. So the next day, Jordan's friend describes Jordan looking the happiest she has ever looked. She was skipping around. She was eating ice cream. After the disappearance of her husband. So clearly she is like, I am liberated. I don't have to be pressured to have sex. Like, what lack of boundaries does Jordan have that she can't just say, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't, like, take, you know, talk about lacking taking a stand. So nice guys lack this too. And Jordan, for sure. They're both doing this avoidance, denial, lacking boundaries. At any time in the relationship, she could have said, yeah, I don't really want to do this anymore. This isn't really fun for me. So obviously she had, I imagine, a lot of beliefs around what a relationship looks like or what a marriage looks like. I imagine her parents were not in a healthy relationship. I mean, not many people do have parents that were in a healthy relationship. Clearly, she had some weird beliefs around what an actual relationship or marriage looks like. I mean, that would be my only guess, one of the variables. So she's happy. She's acting strange. She's aloof. And everyone else is concerned because Cody is missing and they don't know where he is. And the more they question her, the more she gets agitated and she gets angry, right? Like, she's just like, dude, just let me live my life. Let me just live my life. And everyone is wanting to know where Cody is. How annoying, right? Like, what a drag that everyone is concerned about this person that they love and care about. Clearly, she didn't care about him. She didn't love him. She just wants everyone to go on with their lives. Like, he's missing. It's fine. Like, let's just move on with our lives. So it may not be a shocker to find out, yes, she did kill him. She brought him to Glacier National Park, and she pushed him off a ledge. So there was, they had him on camera going in and leaving and all, or her leaving. There are a couple of really important things I want to talk about next. First, nice guys will often just go along with a relationship because the gal is saying yes and it's moving forward. They will just keep going with no standards, right? Like, where is he doesn't have any standards. Where are his standards of what he wants? Does he really want love from the person he's with? Does he want respect? Does he want kindness, consideration? These are needs that we have in our life and in relationships. And it's really easy if we're trying, if there's a strategy to maintain something. It's like almost like a game, right? Like, I'm going to keep this going and I'm going to abandon all these needs that I have. Because it's hard for us to be conscious of those needs. That's part of the work, is to understand what those needs are. But, and especially if the nice guy thinks the woman is pretty, but the quality of the relationship is pretty low, like, they'll just kind of go along with it a lot of times, right? Like, well, she keeps saying yes to moving the relationship forward. So what are your standards in a relationship? What are your standards? Because having standards is attractive, is very attractive. When a guy has no standards, a woman can feel that. Anyone can feel that. Would you propose to someone who wouldn't kiss you in public? Maybe not even kiss you at all, who knows? Who you didn't have anything in common with, who wouldn't flirt with you, who bawled their eyes out while walking towards you in your marriage ceremony? You know, like, where were his standards at that moment that he could have just said, you know what, this feels really weird to me. I feel really uncomfortable. I feel sick to my, like, what was happening for him that he was trying to manage his experience? Because I imagine there were emotions, there were physical something, sensations in his body. And I imagine he was just doing a really good job of suppressing all of it and being like, it's fine. I'm going to say some positive thing that a lot of nice guys do. I'm going to just positively reframe and it's all going to be okay. And the problem with those positive reframes is sometimes they're really helpful for us in life, and sometimes they can be very toxic and very, very damaging. So Cody was not in this relationship with his sovereignty, in his authentic power. Like, I talk about sovereignty a lot. He's not in his sovereignty at all. He's people-pleasing. He's trying to be the nice guy. He's abandoning himself in the process. So be aware of where your standards are, of what they are. Because if they are low, that's a quality of relationship that you're going to have. And that quality of relationship, this is worst case scenario, you guys. Sure, a lot of you guys are going to get murdered by your wife after 8 days, or 7 days, 8 days. Probably not. But holy shit, I mean, Cody, I imagine, didn't think this would ever happen. And now Jordan's in prison still, and Cody is passed on. So the second part I want to say is I'm totally amazed at what people do to avoid having an uncomfortable conversation, speaking the truth. Nice guys, listen up. You do this too. So Jordan obviously didn't do it. People do crazy ass things instead of speaking their truth. Like for Jordan, she could have said so many times she didn't want to do this. I feel uncomfortable. It's important. I no longer want to get married. I'm sorry. I changed my mind. She could have just ghosted. She could have ghosted, right? Ghosting is shitty, but hey, ghosting is way better than murdering someone. She could have said, hey, I realized that was a yes to the idea of getting married, not actually getting married. Okay, that might involve too much awareness. I'm sorry. I can't. We have to cancel the wedding. She could have just said no, and then walked away. Really, really anything. She could have said, fuck you, and then walked away. Clearly, she wasn't being honest. So somehow, that conversation was scarier to her than killing someone. Now, it is amazing what humans will do to avoid an uncomfortable conversation. Stuff it down and suppress it. Oh, you know, I always say, if you aren't having uncomfortable conversations in your life, you probably aren't in healthy relationships. That's the truth. So I hope you can reflect on your standards, your boundaries, your desires, ways that you abandon yourself, and ways that you avoid speaking your truth, taking a stand, having any type of uncomfortable conversation. Because the longer you put off speaking your truth in these types of situations, the worse it gets, the worse it affects your life. Like in our minds, we're like, oh, I'm saving myself struggle and suffering. And really, you're creating so much more suffering. And something that I feel really passionate about, teaching people how to do this in a much smoother way, they make the whole process easier. So much easier. It doesn't have to be this hard. There's ways to practice this. There's ways that you can show up and being honest and taking a stand for yourself. If you want support with any of that, there's a few different ways that I work with people. Even if you just want to start off as like a beginner option, just to get a feel for me and work on these things, all the things that I mentioned today, reach out. There's a link in the description that you can book a call with me. We'll just hop on there and I can learn a little bit more about your situation and I can make a recommendation about where you're at moving forward. Shoot me an email if that feels more comfortable for you. I want to support the people that are aligned to work with me. So all you nice guys that are feeling like, all right, I think I'm kind of scared, but I'm also kind of excited that this girl can help me, then just reach out. Like, why wait? Let's connect. Let's just connect now and go from there. So that's what I have for you today. I look forward to speaking to those of you who are ready, willing, courageous to take a step forward in your sovereignty. I am here for you. Again, link is in the description. Let's chat. I'm going to see you in the next episode. And of course, I do want to just pay some respects to Cody. And I really look at this human experience as us being in a collective. So Cody has given us a chance to really learn about choices that he made. And from my perspective, I believe that Cody has passed on and is in a place and has way more wisdom and insights and perspective from the place that he's at right now. So I just want to pay tribute to who he was and the people that loved him. And may he rest in peace.